Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Traina. Thanks so much for listening. Great show today. Dan Patrick is on the pod. Great conversation about interviewing and how to handle guests and career in sports media. He has a new pod coming out. So much was covered with Dan. He really got into his illness that he revealed in 2019. Appreciate him being open about that. So just a really fascinating conversation with Dan Patrick on this episode. If you missed last week, great, great appearance by Kevin Harlan from CBS and TNT Sports. 2 weeks ago, Andrew Marchand came on to talk about NFL and college football sports media news. 3 weeks ago, Brian Baumgartner from The Office, Renee Young from WWE. So check those out if you missed any of those. And please, if you are not a subscriber, hit the subscribe button for the SI Media Podcast. It helps tremendously, and I will appreciate it. All right. Let's get right now to Dan Patrick for a very, very good conversation. All right, joining me now, one of the legendary broadcasters in sports media, been around for a while, done a variety of things, launching a new podcast exclusively on Amazon Music called That Scene with Dan Patrick. He is Dan Patrick. Dan, how's it going?
It's good. It's good. Everything's all right, Jimmy. Thank you.
Glad to hear that. Before we get into several things I'd like to discuss with you, your new podcast and some other things, you know, I can't not start by talking about Andrew Perloff, because we worked together at SI for many years. He's one of my favorite coworkers and just an all-around good guy, but I know you guys give him a nice hard time on the show and stuff, but I had to give Andrew a shout-out to start the pod, because he is a character. I want to know, you know, what you guys do on the air is one thing, and then there's Andrew off the air, which I sort of got in the SI office. If people think the hot takes Andrew throws out on the air are bad, you have no idea what he says off the air when it comes to hot takes.
Well, and when I first saw that he worked for Sports Illustrated and he was going to come up and monitor the show, he was going to blog about the show.
Right.
And I told my guys, I said, there's this guy who looks like he could be related to McLovin from Superbad, and he's going to be coming up. And he came up, and he just kind of hung out with it. Then he never left. And then I just absorbed McLovin, and he just became part of the show. And he's such a great addition, because
that's great.
You have unique personalities, and he fit right in as the nerdy Ivy League guy who has some crazy hot takes.
Yeah. It's funny, because I get asked a lot, and I'm sure you don't go one day without getting asked, you know, how can you get in this business? How can you get in this business? And here's the story of a guy who just basically sat in the chair at the Dan Patrick Show, never left. And now, all these years later, it's been a long time. There he is.
Yeah, a lot of it is luck. And I have a broadcasting school, Full Sail University. And I tell my students, you know, you got to be prepared when you get your chance, because when you get that chance, you may only get one chance, and you got to be ready to go. And McLovin was ready to go at that time in his career, and he's a very bright guy and has a great personality. And he also knows how to play a role on TV. And, you know, I'm like, he's a character. Yeah. He would be our Kramer from Seinfeld.
That's great. I'll just say one thing about Andrew. This is how much I used to love having him in the office for the hot takes. I've told the story before. He once tried to argue that LaDainian Tomlinson wasn't that good of a running back because, and I quote, he just runs 7 yards and falls down, end quote.
I won't even acknowledge it because I, like, those are kind of things that I hear that don't make air usually with McLovin. Right. So what you heard is what I hear just about every other day.
Before we get into some sports stuff here, how are you, you know, in May of 2019, you told the world that you were suffering from this illness, polymyalgia. How are you doing with it? It was, you know, I always thought it was interesting. It's sort of in this day and age of social media and the internet where things get so blown up, I felt like you revealed it and it kind of went away. And I don't know if that was your doing, if you intentionally wanted it that way, but we don't hear much about it. Just want to see how you're doing and everything. And if COVID at all affected you, you know, if you have to be extra careful over these last 6 months of insanity.
Well, I do have to be extra careful because I have a compromised immune system, but I said it at the time because I was making mistakes on the air. And I was, you know, going through some treatments and I was forgetting things. And maybe it wasn't evident to the audience, but it was to me. And I just said, look, you know, we're in it together. There's reciprocation with this relationship. And I just said, look, this is what I've been going through. Because there were days where I couldn't tie my shoes. Like I had a hard time just walking.
Yeah.
And then I luckily found a doctor who said, do you want to try something different? And I said, absolutely. And so I'd go in once a month, hospital for special surgery in New York. They'd hook me up to an IV and pump some drugs into me, and it reduced the inflammation greatly. But there was also depression that was in there. Like there was a Molotov cocktail in there, Jimmy, where I didn't know where I was going. Like if this was going to be the rest of my life, then I was in trouble. And I just wanted to let people know it can hit anybody. Depression could hit anybody. It doesn't matter who you are. And and my wife said, even if one person is affected by this, then you've done the right thing. And I never looked back on it. I didn't go, boy, I want this to be bigger, because I didn't want it to be bigger. I just wanted to say to my audience, this is what I'm going through.
Right.
I didn't want to be the patron saint for autoimmune or any of that. But I'm probably, 75% pain free.
Okay.
So what I have is what I'm going to probably have the rest of my life.
So it's manageable and tolerable for you at this point?
If this is what I had initially, then it would have been different. I would have thought, boy, this isn't good. What I had before to what I have now, there's no comparison.
Mm-hmm. So what was that like getting out of bed each morning to do the show when you not only had this pain, but then the depression? I mean, fortunately, I think, mental health discussions have become pretty prominent within the sports industry. People aren't, you see athletes do it. Kevin Love has done a tremendous job with it. I've said things on, social media about I go through stuff with anxiety and things like that. And, I got to wake up every day and write a column, whether you have it or not. And you're doing a radio show, and no one wants to hear us complain, but how did you get through those days where you just did not, there are days where you just don't want to talk about sports. You realize like, what am I doing here? How did you get through it? Were there any tricks, tips, techniques?
No, I was lucky. I had this as an outlet and I had the Danettes there and it took my mind off of it. It was difficult to get to work. Once I got to work, it was great. Okay. And then I would leave and then I would go home. But I would wake up every single morning. So I went through this treatment, this light chemo, where they said, you won't know for 4 months if it works. So every single day for 4 months, I'd take one step out of bed and I would know if it was there or not. So imagine that every single day. Yeah. And my wife, God love her, she every single day she would ask me how I feel. For 7 years, she asked me how I felt. I went through it for 7 years, every single day. And I remember the morning where I stepped out of bed and I went, oh. And then I took another step. My wife goes, what? I said, I don't have that pain. And she goes, we'll take a couple more steps. And so I took a couple more steps. I go, yeah, I'm okay. And I don't feel horrible.
Right.
And then like the next night, I think I went to bed at like 8 o'clock because I couldn't wait to go to bed to wake up the next morning. Right. And then I got out of bed and I went, I'm okay. Like this is all tolerable.
Yeah.
And I never wanted to take, I mean, I was already taking stuff they were putting in my veins, but I didn't want to take aspirin. I didn't want to take anything, any heavy, Tylenol, any of that stuff. So I just sort of was running through it as best I could. And then there was light at the end of the tunnel.
And that's also another, you know, it's like the opposite of the depression. You get that good feeling, that good news, and that and your brain and your body, your brain has to sort of adjust to that. Then everything is sort of a, you know, an adjustment, even the good stuff when that happens.
Yeah. And you would have, I'd have these moments because and you don't know you're having these moments. And Kevin Love doesn't know this, but he really helped me because once you expose yourself like that, I mean, that's as much as I've ever revealed. And I don't want to go out of my way to reveal stuff. I don't want to be sensationalistic, but I kept thinking he did that. And he had anxiety in an NBA finals. And he talked about that. He talked about leaving the floor. And I went, gosh. And I thought, you know, I'm no better than him. Like there's nothing wrong with saying this.
Right.
And it almost helped me. I think it let the audience come in a little closer just to say, you know, I couldn't remember Albert Pujols' name to save my life. I got into my car one day and forgot how to turn it on. I didn't know how to turn it on. I went to the grocery store one night and I forgot why I was there. I called home and I said, what am I here for? And she goes, salad dressing. And I go, okay. But I didn't know. I'd go to the basement to get something. I'd forget why I went to the basement. I'd say, why am I down here? And then my wife would say, you know, to get
this. It's amazing you were able to do the show. I mean, did you even miss a show?
I don't think so. But Paulie, my producer, knew he had to help fill in some blanks here for me. Because I would just have these momentary lapses where I couldn't focus. He would say something in my headphones. And it'd be like, you know, in Michigan State with, and he go, Tom Izzo. And then I go, Tom, like I forgot Tom Izzo's name one day.
Right.
But Paulie was so acutely aware of what I was going through. And without, like he was Belichick to my Brady, for the lack of a better, you know, analogy. But he just helped me through it, understanding what I was thinking, even though he wasn't quite sure what I was thinking, but he was helping fill in some gray area.
Yeah, I can't imagine doing a talk show like
and
that.
And it's 3 hours and you can't, I couldn't hide. And now it's on TV, you can't hide. On radio, it's one thing. On TV, people are watching going, he forgot. He doesn't know Albert Pujols' name. It's like, you're right. I don't. Yeah. I didn't.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're doing much better.
And thank you.
You know, it's one of the things, you know, I tell Perloff this all the time. You guys get great guests on your show. You know, I'm more of a, you know, I'm in New York. So like WFAN was life here. And, you know, I was never a huge national show, but your guest list is so impressive. Every show, it seems like now you're branching out with this other podcast. That scene with Dan Patrick, where you're interviewing, I think it's a great concept for, you know, everyone has a podcast. So it's like, now, how do you stand out? Yeah. I think this one will definitely stand out because you're interviewing celebrities about their iconic scenes. You have Adam Sandler on the first episode, Will Ferrell, David Spade. What do you get tired of interviewing sports people and that's why you wanted to do this? Or is it just you enjoy this as much as sports and you wanted to try something with non-sports people?
Well, I have so many other interests, and just the fact I've gotten to know Adam Sandler, I've been in, I think, 17 of his movies now, and he just seemed like the right guest to start, and we just wanted to do the fight scene with Bob Barker and Happy Gilmore, and just focus the entire episode on just that. What went into it? Who else did they consider? Sandler recalling things. Bryan Cranston, the final scene of Breaking Bad, he breaks that down in, you know, great detail. Will Ferrell streaking in Old School, what went into that?
That's great.
Ralphie from A Christmas Story, where he's going to shoot his eye out. And I just started calling friends. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, you know what? I don't know if anybody's interested in this, but I'm going to do these interviews. And then all of a sudden, IMDb heard about it, and they were like, hey, we want to be in business with you. And I'm like, oh, cool. And they go, let's do 20 episodes. And I already have 10 of them that I've done. So halfway there for the first season. And, I've always enjoyed something like that, because we all sit around and go, remember that scene? And that's what this is about. It's just about, you remember that scene?
But that's what it's a great concept, because you can probably do like 1,000 of these episodes. I mean, you know, so many classic scenes. You said you did 20. Like Adam Sandler's the first episode, and it's the scene with Bob Barker. So I think, right, you don't have to sell it any more than that. I think people will listen right away. Give me one you didn't. What would be number 21 for Dan Patrick? If you could pick it, book it, the guests would automatically say yes. What scene would you like to break down that you didn't get a chance to?
Well, you know, we've done 10. I got to do 10 more. But if you said, like, my ideal would be Susan Sarandon and Gina Davis with Thelma and Louise.
Interesting.
Going over the cliff and Thelma and Louise. I just remember all the dialogue about that. Were they heroes? Were they not? And just what went into that. And they're on, that's on the short list. I'm talking to Ryan Reynolds about Deadpool, because he's just very, very funny, very bright. And what that movie did, it kind of, you know, thumbed its nose to real superheroes. I appreciate that. But there's so many of them.
Yeah.
I want to talk to Phoebe Cates with, the pool scene.
I hope you saw what happened over the weekend with they did the table read.
I saw
Fast
that.
Times.
Yeah.
You saw Morgan Freeman narrating that scene. It was one of the greatest things you'll ever see.
But I'd like to get Judge Reinhold, who's in the bathroom, and then Phoebe Cates getting out of the water in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. So there's so many of them that you don't run out of them. And what's great is, now that we're starting this, you'll get people who will say, hey, you should, what about that scene? And that's what I want, because they can be 20 minutes, 15, 30 minutes. The most I went was like probably 30 minutes. You just go until you're done with that scene. So it's not like I go, boy, I got to fill, 8 more minutes here.
Right.
It's just Bryan Cranston went probably 50 minutes, maybe longer on Breaking Bad. But he did it in such great detail. I also interviewed Maris Valenis, who was Jimmy Chitwood in Hoosiers.
Okay.
And we talk about the last scene where, what went into that. And then, he shoots the game-winning hoop. So it was just something that, is unique. And guys, of course, remember that scene. And, that he says, I'll make it, and just what it was like with Gene Hackman. Dennis Hopper was on the set. So that's what's fun. You just get them to kind of reminisce, and they enjoy it too, because they kind of reflect back on a great moment in their career.
Yeah, it's a great guest list. Can I put in a request for one?
Yeah.
I don't think he does interviews though, but Pesci for the scene in Goodfellas with Billy Batts.
Yeah.
Would be that whole scene would be great to hear Pesci bring. But I don't think he does interviews really.
I don't. Gene Hackman doesn't. Like there's certain, De Niro's probably not going to lower himself to do this, or Pacino. But if they do, then great.
Yeah.
But, sometimes you can't get the person, but you could get people involved in the scene. You can get a director, producer. And, we had Adam Sandler's producing friend, Tim Herlihy, who came up with the Bob Barker scene in Happy Gilmore. He joined us as well. And we talked about that whole partnership of how you create a scene like that. What goes into it when you're writing the scene? How much is ad lib? How much did Bob Barker, what role did he play? And I found out that Bob Barker had a lot more involvement than I realized. So it was just fun. And who Sandler based the character off of, a real person that he based the character off of. So that's what was fun, because everybody wants to hear. I was actually telling Bryan Cranston things about the final scene that Bryan Cranston didn't even know.
Right, right.
And he goes, yeah. Where are you getting this? And I said, I did my research. Yeah. And he was shocked at three things I said to him about the final scene that he did not know.
Yeah, that's great. You've done interviews for so many years now of your career. At this stage, do you prefer doing like the long form interview or the short interview that maybe you do on the radio show?
It depends on how interesting somebody is, how long I go. Right. I don't go, that guy is not worthy of 7 to 10 minutes. Because there are times you have somebody on and you go, wow, like this is still moving. And you know, there's just something that goes off in my brain where I go, okay, we're done. Like let's wind it down. And just the whole scientific approach to an interview is something I've always been fascinated with, of how do I get from point A to point B to point Z and do that and be fair to the audience. Because people say, oh, yes, great questions. I go, well, they're not great questions if they're not great answers. Mm-hmm. So if you say, boy, you get great answers, then it doesn't matter. We get caught up in how great was my question? Hey, that's a big windup in the pitch. Some of the best questions I've ever asked are why?
Right.
How?
Right.
Where? Because I don't want to answer the question for you. I want you to just tell me what's on your mind. And it's amazing what people will say if you don't give them a lot of time to reload. I just want your honest opinion. And when you get that, then you get a great interview. Because people will say, well, who are some of your favorite people to interview? And I always say somebody who is honest.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Right.
If I ask you a question, you give me an answer, I love it. I don't want you dancing, because these guys are interviewed more than any other people on the planet. Athletes are. Because it's after every game, before every game, it's after every practice. You know, coaches get, you can't find Brad Pitt and interview him every day or Tom Cruise every day. These guys, LeBron, you can find him. He's there every day. Tom Brady, he's going to be there. Right. So they're used to getting these questions.
Do you think you
have to work hard.
Do you think it's tougher to interview a guest who doesn't like to be interviewed and doesn't speak that much and maybe it isn't great with the answers, or the person who's coming on just to plug something?
Well, I know if you're coming on to plug something, then it's fair game with what I want to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, this is quid pro quo. Like, you're coming on using the airtime, that means I get to fire back. So I'm comfortable with that. The person who's a little reticent, some trepidation, not always easy. Like, I want you to willingly want to come on and talk. And if you don't, then I'd rather you didn't come on. And not like Derek Jeter was never a great guest, because Derek didn't really say anything, but he was so polite in not saying anything. You'd always go, boy, that, I think it went pretty well. And then you realize he didn't really say anything, but he was very nice and not saying anything.
Yeah.
And a lot of these guys, you know, Tiger Woods is not a great interview.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's very guarded and for a variety of reasons. So when we have them on, like I'm always, there's a little bit of trepidation because people have such great expectations. Like, oh, you're going to have Tiger on. And I always like, yeah, but I don't know what you're going to get. Hey, you're going to have Derek Jeter. I don't know what you're going to get. And, you know, it's the other guys that you usually get something that's a little bit more forthcoming and revealing.
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
How do you handle, you might not have to deal with this that much anymore, but how do you handle it when you get a guest who you don't really want to talk to or doesn't excite you you think, oh, I don't know much about that person. I'm not a NASCAR person, but I get pitched NASCAR people and I'm like, I don't know how I would navigate that if I'm not a NASCAR person. How do you handle that? I'm looking for like advice here.
Well, what is interesting to you? If I have Denny Hamlin on, and he's a great NASCAR driver, what am I going to ask him that my national audience is going to care about? Because the NASCAR community is going to eat it up. I mean, they're like Dale Earnhardt Jr., one of my favorite interviews. Mm-hmm. Love having him on. We don't talk NASCAR.
Right.
Like, it's not centralized. It's more of Dale Jr., his father, just had a baby. Like it's more of the person instead of, the athlete.
Yeah. And I feel you can get away with that though, because you're Dan Patrick. I don't know if everyone can get away with that.
No, and you're probably right. Like Denny Hamlin, I asked him about his relationship with Michael Jordan.
Right.
It's not necessarily, and these guys get asked these questions and it's so in-house with questions and answers about NASCAR. I think it allows them to get out of that box we put them in. But I am fortunate because I have a track record that if it's PR people, it's the athlete themselves or the coach, that we probably cross paths and they at least know what my resume is. I'm not a gotcha guy. Right. I'll ask a tough question, but I want to be fair to you. I had a bad moment with Kyler Murray at the Super Bowl a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And he came in and he just didn't get good advice. And he was there to promote Gatorade. And I said, all right, you're coming on. Now, I'd been told that he was not going to play baseball, that he had been told he'd be a top 10 pick in the NFL. So I was trying to let him show his personality. And he clammed up. And there was nothing I could do. I didn't want to embarrass him. But you get to the point where then I have to be selfish a little bit, because now, you're kind of making a mockery out of this. Mm-hmm. And it was uncomfortably entertaining. We had Matt Harvey on, the former Mets pitcher.
Everyone remembers that one.
And he came on to say, I said, I want to talk to you about, your surgery. And he goes, no, well, I talked about that yesterday. I'm just here to honor Qualcomm. And I go, wait a minute, I don't think you understand what this is all about here. You get to talk about Qualcomm. I get to ask you questions.
Right.
And that one was uncomfortable. But, you have a couple of those. I mean, I've done.
But that was a good uncomfortable, because everyone got a kick out of it.
Oh, no. It's good for you, yes. Not for me, where I'm going, wait a minute. Like, I'm looking around going, am I being punked here?
Right.
And
I had that with Gronk once. Gronk came on the podcast through Tide. And I ended up not running it, because no matter what I asked him, he mentioned Tide.
Yeah.
Like, I would be like, well, what do you think about this week's game? Well, I'm going to wear my jersey that's going to be washed by Tide. So,
happens. They get bad advice, because that I put on the PR people, where you just say, look, they're going to ask you one or two questions about the product, but they're going to ask you probably 10 other questions. So you got to be ready. And I'll have people who get nervous and they'll try to take the product and insert it sooner than they need to. Cause I'll go like 6 or 7 questions and then they'll go, but the most important thing going on in my life is, a Ford truck. And then you're going, okay, I got it. I'll get to it.
Right.
Right. I'm a professional. I'll get to you.
Like I said, though, I think you can get away with more than most. You mentioned you always get asked who your favorite guest is. I'm more curious about who you haven't had on the show, who you'd like to have on, who would you like to interview?
Michael Jordan.
So you've never interviewed him?
Just after all those championships when I was at ESPN.
Yeah.
And that's some of the best moments I've ever had.
Do you think he's a good interview?
Yes, because he's competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want a guy who's competitive, because then you compete with him to get an answer from
him.
And so Jordan would be, and plus we have a history. You know, he'd always say to me, hey, I'm not going to come on after every win at the NBA Finals, but I'll come on after I win the championship. Not if I win the championship. I'll come on after I win the championship, including Utah, where he hits the last second shot. He comes in after the game, and I thought that was the last I was going to see of him playing. But he was – I think he enjoyed it, because, once again, I want to take you out of the nuts and bolts. Hey, you're a basketball player. It's more of the person that is sitting down, not a thing. And you know, hopefully he appreciated that. But Jordan would be entertaining, I think, just because you can challenge him.
And give me a non-athlete you'd love to have on the show.
Oh, there's way too many. I don't know if I have a wish list there.
Yeah,
where I'd go, boy, that would be unbelievable. And I'm sure, you know, once we're done here, I'll go, you know, I probably had three or four of them that I could have brought up. But it comes down to who is going to be a willing participant. Because you can say, hey, boy, wouldn't it be great to have De Niro on? And I go, probably not.
Right.
Because I don't think he enjoys the process. Bill Belichick, I don't think he would enjoy the process. So therefore, you have somebody on. It would be frustrating. I'd rather not have you on than to say I had you on and it wasn't great.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's, I guess, you know, you have this such a successful radio show. It's on Peacock now and YouTube. And so you can get, you know, there are those, you know, I guess I'm in this boat because it's a podcast. I'm on the internet with SI.com. It's like, you know, you want that social media juice of that person saying they were on your podcast or your show. And then, but like you said, if it's not a good interview, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. You know, it's interesting. The radio show has floated around a little bit the last couple of years. Now you're on Peacock and YouTube. Is it someone like you who's done it all already? Like, do you get fed up? I don't want to use the word frustrated. That's not but like fed up with just like how everything has changed in terms of how people consume their, you know, everyone's listening to stuff on apps, podcasts. They don't listen live. They rewind. You're on YouTube. Someone at your stage of career, you're just like, I don't need this shit anymore. Like, or is it like, you just got to go with the flow, do what's best for business? Or I could see if I was in your position, I'd be like, I don't want to deal with this anymore.
Yeah. But I still enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I don't care how you consume it. I'm just glad you do.
Right.
And I don't go, oh, I'm on Peacock. Okay, I worked at CNN when CNN just started, and people said, why would you go to CNN? And then I got to ESPN in the embryonic stages, and people are like, why don't you want to do local sports? And so here I am that I went out on my own and created a simulcast where we had a true simulcast where I put 11 cameras in here and a basketball court and made it a TV show on radio.
Mm.
So I mean, I pride myself in not being afraid to take a chance. So now it's with Peacock, and I love what these streaming services are doing. I just think it's the future here. And to be involved with, I just want somebody to be in business who wants to be in business with me.
Right.
That's it. I couldn't care less about, oh, you're not on a network, or I'm on 362 radio affiliates, and we play to a couple million people on TV a week. So I'm okay with all of that.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I've had enough publicity. I just hope that if you listen or watch, then you enjoy. That's it.
When you were talking about simulcasting, it came in my head out of nowhere. It wasn't something I thought about asking you, but you said it. And one of the things we have in common is we are both Howard Stern fans. You have an interesting history with the show, because I know you were at the birthday party.
Yeah.
Which I was at, which was one of the greatest nights of entertainment that ever existed, in my opinion. And then were you at the Tiger Woods beauty pack? You were in studio for a roast or something. What were you in studio for?
Baba Booey.
The roast of Baba Booey.
Yeah.
How was that? I have to know.
Well, what was interesting is to see these characters, and I didn't know what Richard and Sal look like. And Howard had no idea who I was. Robin did. John Hine, you know, Gary did. You know, some of the other guys in the back, JD. But Gary introduces me to Howard and says, hey, this is Dan Patrick. He's the Dan Rather of sportscasters. And then I looked at Gary like, okay. And then Howard just, you know, just said, hi, you know, glad you are here, whatever, something. And then I just sat there and just witnessed Baba Booey being roughed up a little bit there. And
a little bit is an understatement.
But what I appreciate with Howard is his ability to take people that you would not be interested in and make them really interesting. It's not his interviews. It's his ability to make JD interesting or Ronnie interesting.
Yeah.
And I think Robin has really shined, you know, the last couple of years, you know, that she, and I think she's wonderful. I just, I think she's a beautiful woman and she shares more than you think she does. And what Fred does as sort of this mad professor, he might be the most valuable person on that show. And Howard helped me, not, he didn't know he was helping me, but it was, how can I make something where I have people that nobody knows about and make them interesting and make it inclusive? And that was really the genesis for trying to do this, was what Howard was doing with his guys.
So yeah, so Howard was an inspiration for the Danettes and Kramer. Yeah.
Yeah. And his ability to be fearless too.
Yeah.
He's a very bright and he's fearless. And he took on some people, you know, he took on the FCC. Like, he was never afraid. And I've said before that I don't think there's been a more valuable media person across all platforms than Howard Stern in the history of this medium.
And you talk about fearless. I mean, you're in the business. I can't even imagine what your reaction was. But I mean, to leave terrestrial to go to Sirius, which, you know, now Sirius is pretty big and, you know, they're in every car basically. And, you know, they do a great job with concerts and everything. But, you know, when he left terrestrial for Sirius, Sirius was basically nothing. That's as fearless a move as you can make.
Well, you want,
although the money was, you know, worth it. I don't want to act like that's not a factor.
No, but the money wasn't he could have been embarrassed. So even if you have all that money, Howard doesn't want to be embarrassed. And I remember reading an article, I think it might have been the New York Times. It was basically, where did Howard Stern go? And I thought, man, you got to be on top of this, because Howard Stern, this is where it is. And Howard left for more freedom. And I, you know, when people say, why did you leave ESPN? I wanted more freedom.
Right.
Like it, and our careers are not the same. I'm just saying that ability to be able to, or willingness to go, let me try something. Like, let me do something that's fun, and who knows what's going to happen. Because I could have fallen on my face and, you know, said, boy, whatever happened to that guy, he's dumb enough to leave ESPN. Rick Riley said it was one of the dumbest moves in, you know, TV history that I left, you know, SportsCenter. He called
There's
me
a lot
the
sh- that can be said right there. But
he called me the Shelley Long of sportscasters after Shelley Long left the show Cheers. And I was like, but at the time, everybody reacted that way. So Howard going to satellite, I think he was just basically saying, I'm fed up with listening to people, dealing with this whole archaic system, and I want to do something on my own. And he created it. I mean, pretty incredible.
I have so much I want to say about the Rick Riley thing, but I'm just going to move on.
I haven't spoken to Riley in, I don't know if it's been like 15 years. And we had a great relationship. In fact, I helped him when he was going to ESPN and gave him some advice. And, you know,
yeah,
after
that worked out. Yeah.
No, but
I don't think so.
No. But I don't know what he's doing now, but I always appreciated our time, you know, when I talked to him. I always enjoyed him. But it might be 15 years.
Well, I don't want to talk about it. Before we wrap up, since you mentioned ESPN, there's a lot, you know, there's sort of this narrative that, like, you know, if you leave ESPN, it's very risky. But I think over the years now, we've seen a lot of people have left and had great success. You were sort of the first. I'm curious, when other people have left ESPN over the years, do you get asked for advice often from those people about how to do it?
Yes. And most of the time, Jimmy, I advise them to stay. Because the number of people, there have been three SportsCenter anchors who say, who've said, I want to do what you're doing. I'd like to have what you have. And I said, you're not going to get it. Just not going to happen. Like, I was lucky. I had a guy, Chris Long at DirecTV, who invested in me. Jimmy DeCastro out of Chicago is the first to have this idea, multi-platform. So I had people who believed in me, but, you know, they're not building man caves for people anymore. They're not putting in 11 cameras, you know, those kind of things. But I said to them, if you leave, then call me. Don't say, should I go? You have to make the decision. And if you decide that you want to go, then you call me and I'll help you in any way I can. Right. And I remember when, you know, Rich Eisen had the chance at NFL Network. And I knew that he was not, I mean, he moved up to a certain point, but he wasn't going to be moving up all the way up the food chain. And I said, do it. It's the NFL and their own network. And, you know, Rich has been there for a long, long time. You know, one of the founding fathers there. But, you know, I talked to Scott Van Pelt. Scott was thinking about maybe, you know, going to NBC. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I said, but you have to want to do it. Because if you do, you'll be great.
Right.
But if you enjoy what you're doing at ESPN, then don't leave. Right. Don't leave because you think you have to leave. I stayed 3 years longer than I should have because I wasn't getting better. I was there 18 years. For the first 15, it was great. The last three, I just don't know. I wasn't there. Mentally, I just, everybody had left the building. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, I was there. First SportsCenter I did was with Berman. There was Tom Meese. There was Bob Lee. There was Chris Fowler, Mike Tirico.
Levy, maybe?
Levy was there. Then Oberman
Charlie
came
Steiner.
In. Linda Cohn, Charlie Steiner, Robin Roberts.
Robin Roberts, yeah.
Like, we had an unbelievable, Stuart Scott, we had an unbelievable group of talent there. And I looked up one day, and I'll never forget, I was doing the 6 o'clock Sports Center, and it just dawned on me during a commercial break, I'm like, I'm the last guy here. Like, and then I thought, maybe I missed out. Like, I was loyal to a fault, ESPN. Uh-huh. But I was fine with that. Mm-hmm. I just didn't realize that the other people were going on to other things. And I was sort of stuck in a time machine. And I could never replicate what I did with Keith Oberman. Right. I could never come close to that. I could do other things, but I was still searching for that magic on SportsCenter, and it was never going to be there again.
Yeah.
And that one hit me, and I just remember going, what am I doing here? And it might have been a midlife crisis where you just go, God, I'm like, I was turning 50. And I was going to sign a 5-year contract.
Wow.
And I remember that morning, and my wife said, you know, are you sure you want to do it? I go, yeah. And she goes, yeah, I know. But, you know, whenever you sign these contracts, they give you more work. And I go, yeah, but I... So I had three girls, and I had an older son. They were 9 through 15. And she said, everybody's going to be out of the house by the time you're done. You're going to miss this. And so I drove up to ESPN. Pull in, go in second floor, sit down in Norby Williamson's office. And he said, what's it going to be? Going to take it or leave it? And at that moment, I thought of my wife telling me this at the breakfast table, that I'm going to miss out, especially not being at home with three daughters.
It's crazy to me. You walked into that office still not knowing yes or no.
I know.
It's funny.
I was going to be talked into it.
Right.
Like I was going to be talked into staying. And I knew it wasn't the best place for me to stay, but it was still ESPN.
Right.
And I remember saying, I'm going to leave it. And Norby was surprised, but I said, no, I'm going to leave it. And I remember I got home and my kids, everybody's at the, you know, at the dinner table. And I come in and they're quiet. Everybody's quiet. And then my son goes, is this a good thing or a bad thing? I said, it's a great thing. They started banging on the kitchen table, and it wasn't 2 weeks later where I regretted my decision because nobody was in the house. Like, they say, come home, and nobody's there. And I go, where is everybody?
Right.
You know, they have their lives, you know, that they're doing.
Yeah.
And I just remember sitting there on the front porch with the dog and going, I just made the biggest mistake of my life. And my wife said, if we have to sell the house, we'll sell the house. You can't make the worst decision or bad decision because you came home to be around your family.
Right.
I said, okay.
And then how soon after that did the radio show come about? And I know you had to deal with SI also.
We were trying to piece all this together.
Yeah.
And I only had 12 radio stations to start. I was going door to door. And then, you know, there were ESPN affiliates that couldn't take me because ESPN says you can't take your show.
Right.
And if not for Don Martin at KLAC in Los Angeles, it would have been pretty rough sledding because I said, I will not fail. So he had a morning show that had been in there less than a year. And I said, I will not fail you. And he put this show in morning drive in Los Angeles. And then all of a sudden, it's a copycat world in radio. And then now we're up to 362 radio affiliates. But it was somebody had to take a chance on me, even with a proven track record. But once you're outside, I don't have those four letters protecting me at ESPN.
That was
what was humbling. But you know what? I got my ass kicked. But I'm glad I did, because that was the midlife crisis, is I could just mail this in the rest of my career. Like, the crisis was I was going to do that. And then I got my lunch handed to me.
And another crazy thing about the way this business works, you had said you should have left ESPN 3 years before you did.
Yeah.
Now, who knows how things turn out if you had done that? You leave when you did, radio show.
Oh, it's all timing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe in fate, you know, that you just sort of, I was doing it and there was something else out there. I just didn't know what it was, but you know, that cliff, it's a steep fall.
Yep. Last thing on this, and then I'll let you go, Matt Harvey, on me and plug the Amazon podcast again. I get the sense from sports fans all the time, is it odd? They, for some reason, like, people want you back at ESPN. It almost seems like they don't. I mean, obviously the ultimate dream people want is like the, you know, Dan and Keith reunion, it seems like that ship has sailed. But, you know, you've been on SVP, people get very excited. And is it weird to you that people still want you to go back there in some way, shape or form? I mean, it's been so long since you've been there.
I think there's a generation that they grew up on this, and especially, you know, a good 15-year window when we were doing second shift and, you know, those shows would repeat in the morning on Monday morning. And so it's part of your adolescence, or it could be college. And I think people love nostalgia. It's like an old timers game.
Yeah.
I was lucky that I had a partner like Keith, because we balanced each other out. It was exciting. It was interesting. There was drama, but we were doing something, I thought, at a high level, and we were changing the industry while we were doing it. Our goal.
Did you guys ever battle or fight?
No. No. I would try to be a voice of reason sometimes with him.
Yeah.
But you wanted him in the foxhole. I mean, he fought. If he had your back, he had your back.
Right.
And I can never recreate that. And that's why I didn't want to go back for the 40th anniversary.
Right.
And I fought, you know, I just said, look, I don't want to do it. And my wife goes, this isn't about you.
Right.
This is about all the people who watched you.
Right.
That's
right.
Why I have a smart wife. And because
if I knew you really well, I would have said, I would say to you, Dan, it's, you got to do it for the fans.
But I didn't want to do it because there are certain people there who,
I understand that,
held grudges and did things. And I didn't want them to look good with me going back.
I got you.
And then my wife goes, do it for the fans.
Yeah.
Like, that's what this is about. And I went in there with such clarity after that. I'm like, hey, let's just do it. Have fun. And Van Pelt was just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, it's his show. And he just said, look, I'm just trying to get out of the way. And like, it was awkward to do it because people are going, oh, are you going to be funny? Like, what are you going to do? Catchphrase. And I'm going, it felt like we were in a fishbowl.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to disappoint people, because I'd rather not do it than do it and just say, well, that,
sure.
I didn't want this reaction. I don't know what the big deal is here. 'Cause We did it in a vacuum when we did it, and it's just it was different back then. We didn't have social media. You right. did have to tune in to get on all the highlights. We were very lucky. We couldn't do it now. We would do it differently right. than we did back then.
Right. Reminds me of the SNL. There was an big SNL anniversary where Eddie Murphy came back yeah. for the first time. And they didn't do anything. He just stood there, and people were ready to basically, you know, burn down 30 Rock because he's the greatest cast member of all time, and he just stood there. So yeah.
Well, because you just can't get that again. Like you think right. you can. I couldn't be that anchor.
Right.
And I'm sure Eddie's going, I'm going to be Buckwheat. You know, you want me to be Gumby.
Although he did it last season. He just won an Emmy for it because he wasn't ready at that time.
That's exactly.
It's really, he just wasn't ready.
Yeah. I think he was there for just a curtain call, like, you know, just an acknowledgement and that was it. And then he picked the right time that he felt comfortable doing it. I told Keith, I'll do the 50th anniversary.
Right.
I'll come back and do one more. But it's way too much work, you know. I mean, SportsCenter, you know, we were doing like 200. I did over 2,000 SportsCenters, and it was all, you know, they're live.
Yep.
And there's no net. And sports fans are the most knowledgeable fans you can find because everybody thinks they can do it or they know more than you do. And with social media now, right. I would not want to go into that. Not want to go into that.
No. I don't blame you.
Not at all.
But you are going into that scene with Dan
Here's
Patrick.
The pitch. Yes.
So go Matt Harvey on me here. And again, podcast, it's exclusive on Amazon Music. Dan will be interviewing celebrities, Adam Sandler, first episode, Will Ferrell, David Spade, Bryan Cranston, about iconic scenes in their career.
Yes. And it just started the episode with Sandman today. But the episode's available on Amazon Music and Will Ferrell with Old School. David Spade talks about in the car singing songs.
And Tommy Boy.
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
All it is I did two scenes with him because I wanted to know who picked the music. If, Chris Farley picked him, like him and Farley in there, the deer scene with the car. So we just spent it probably 20 minutes on that car scene and how great that was. And the other part that I touched on is when fat guy in a little coat and the whole background on that. But Peter Billingsley plays Ralphie in Christmas Story, talks about getting, you know, his eye shot out with his BB gun and Flick with his tongue on the pole there and how they pulled that off. So it's a lot of fun. It's 30 minutes or less and a new episode every week. And Amazon Music's done a wonderful job.
Excellent. Check it out and check out the Dan Patrick Show on Peacock streaming. And I thoroughly enjoyed this. Thank you so much for coming on, Dan. I really enjoyed the conversation. Appreciate
Jimmy, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
My pleasure. Take care.
Take care.
All right. My thanks to Dan Patrick for the very, very fascinating conversation. If you're in sports media, you must have picked something up there because, you know, Dan's a legend in sports media and he really had some great advice, great tips. Great philosophies. So my thanks to him for sharing that. Really appreciate it. If you missed previous episodes of the SI Media Podcast, we had Kevin Harlan on last week, Andrew Marchand from the Sports Media Reporter from the New York Post. 2 weeks ago, Brian Baumgartner from The Office and Renee Young. 3 weeks ago, check those out in the archives if you did not listen to those. And give the SI Media Podcast a follow if you can. A subscription helps tremendously. All right. Again, my thanks to Dan Patrick. And we'll see you next week right here on the SI Media Podcast. Take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.